For those of you who've been in my office that weren't in trouble, you may have noticed that on my shelf I have this little container that is the house for action figure Jesus. Love action figure Jesus. He has been with me for about 15 years. I don't know if that's giving my life to Christ, but I certainly got an action figure of Jesus then, so there's some sort of relationship. Jesus is neat. He comes with posable arms. He has gliding action, little wheels on the bottom, so he can sort of slide. Now, the upgraded version that maybe I'll get for Christmas, he can turn like glowing hands that make fish turn into more fish and water to wine. It's kind of cool, but, you know, that's next year's gift, maybe. I've brought him out in the middle of church meetings and had him on the center table when we may have forgotten that Christ in the midst of the work of the church. So he's done some good work. But what has been of most value across my time in ministry is what the box says about Jesus. Jesus, action figure Jesus was made in China, which is cool. But it connects with some of the documentation about who Jesus is, maybe a little bit of translation challenges, but it's also this amazing way to see how persons not named us sitting in Roxborough may think about Jesus. So I want to read to you the brief description on the back of the box. The name Jesus means God saves. The term Christ is a title for anointed of God. For Muslims and some Jews, Jesus was a prophet. Buddhists say that he was enlightened. Hindus call him an avatar, the incarnation of a deity in human form. And Christians hail him as the Son of God. So who was he? Jesus, it says, was an extraordinary healer. Nearly a quarter of the Gospels describe his powers over sickness. To the downtrodden, he taught restraint and charity in the face of oppression. As a result, the powerless learned to maintain dignity without being arrogant. Now, I have to inject in here, this is sort of what it sounds like through communist China to talk about what it means to be downtrodden. I don't think our gospel really shows, you know, dignity and respect in the midst of oppression, but I continue. He delivered this message to the people. The time has arrived for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you believe in this good news, then it will happen. He was executed at a young age as a common criminal. And since then, he has been, this is surprising, he has been the topic of heated theological debates. Although he is understood in many different ways, everyone seems to agree that he was a remarkable man. And I wonder, everyone seems to agree he was a remarkable man. Do we? Do we agree that he was a remarkable man? Is that the place where, through many of us, lifelong of formative interaction through the body of Christ, through the experiences of our life, through maybe Sunday school, through church services, through the ups and downs and the turbulent and the calm and joyful times of our life, do we get to some place that most of us, the best we can settle on is that he was a remarkable man? Matthew has been telling us about Jesus' travels through the land and how in amazing and wonderful ways he has interacted with everyone. He's teaching, he's listening, he's healing, he's caring, he's inviting people in, he's changing the lay of the land. In Jesus there is this remarkable, mysterious, wonderful energy that has come into the world. And his passion for justice, for healing, his compassion for those who are broken and hurting, his accepting of the unacceptable. All of this is something special going on. And people feel it and connect with it and respond to it. There's no denying the kingdom of God is among us. And they see this work and this energy that is in the person of Jesus Christ. Something is happening. But how were people responding to that? That's kind of the question in our scripture this morning. So with all of that going on, with the presence of Jesus Christ and this energy, how were people dealing with it? How were they categorizing it? What were they saying? And in fact, this morning scripture, Jesus is asking his disciples, hey, so what's going on out there? What are people thinking about me? What kind of categories are they putting me in? How are they describing what they see among us? You know, in Jesus Christ Superstar, there's a song called What's the Buzz? How's things going? What's the talk? What's the word about me out there? As you're out amongst them, what are they saying? And as we kind of are apt to do, maybe as humans, but certainly in community, they start kind of polling and taking the top 10 list or whatever. And how do you categorize Jesus? Well, some people, Jesus, are saying that you're John the Baptist or you're like John the Baptist. You're cutting edge. You're confrontational. You're out there with the people. You're somebody they haven't seen before, and we like that. Other people are saying, wow, in light of these miraculous healings and the feeding and this sense of signs of wonder and grace in the world, this is like when Elijah was here and was bringing down fire and was healing and resurrecting people. This was an amazing thing. So it's maybe you're like Elijah reincarnated. And others, from their perspective, heard his speaking and teaching on the law, and maybe he's like Jeremiah or Isaiah that is bringing back the austere power and the prophetic voice of the law. Any of those, Jesus, you're at least doing this. You're trending. You're in social media, man. You are kicking it. You are like going to be on the Mount Rushmore of Jewish prophets. There is no doubt, Jesus, you are headed in the right direction. And well, quite honestly, so are we as your disciples. Isn't that great? We picked a box, we picked a category, we found a place to put you, a niche to put you in, and so often that's what we're looking for, but that's not what Jesus was asking. In the midst of all that was happening, he didn't need press clippings to say how great he was doing. He didn't need people to verify or validate who he was. He was interested in something more, because who he was and the power he brought was about transformation. And so he wants to know from his disciples, what difference is this making? What's happening in the world? What's different now? Not a pop quiz, but a chance to look within and to find out where is Christ in our lives, or is Jesus in with his disciples? And so he turned to him and asked this more penetrating question, what do y'all say about me? What are y'all talking about when you're out there, when people put me in these categories? What's your input on that? What kind of categories have you put me in? What are you thinking about me? Who do you say that I am? Right to the disciples, right to the heart of those that have been following him, that have been first ring, that have been given to know in this inside look into Jesus. And Peter jumps up, the voice in Matthew, voice of the disciples, jumping and says, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. The Christ. And Jesus, I think in genuine response, says, that is fantastic. Peter, you are getting something that you didn't come up with. You didn't take the category or the quiz on Twitter. You came up with your own place. And let me tell you, because you understand something about me, you're different now. Oh, Simon, son of Jonah, you've been through an experience. You're transformed. Some of this energy is catching on to you. You're becoming someone new. And I'll tell you what, disciples, if you see how this energy works, that's how the church is going to be happening. Peter, the rock, the way you're changed is how people are going to be changed. It's how the church will become. It'll be like built on this rock of persons, changing persons, energy moving through, God revealing and persons becoming someone new even through the sacrament of baptism. That's how it's all going to work, Peter. And you think, that's awesome. Let's go for it. And then Jesus says, no, but don't tell anybody. I say, what? Don't tell anybody? So it's a mystery why that is. Let's confess that we're not sure. But listen, I think it has something to do with this. That the words that we're given, the things, the revelation of knowing stuff, we can know what to say and we not know what it means. Are you with me? We begin to speak words that we're taught. We're given an image, a way to communicate. We may even feel genuinely, here's something new that I didn't realize. But internally, we're not caught up with it yet. We're not matured into it. We don't really understand what it is that we're saying. And I think Jesus is going, I recognize that. You guys may be ready to say the words, but you're not ready to be who you are becoming. So no sense telling people words. Let them see through you what is going on. That's the movement that Jesus is talking about. And so don't bother telling everybody. Let's live a life and become who you're called to be. When it comes to faith, how things, what they mean to you and to others is what's important. We may have different ideas about the language, but when we recognize and encounter the power, it has a unifying effect. So what does it mean for you that Jesus is the Christ? What does it mean for you now in this part of your life? What did it mean before? Things we don't often think about. We kind of go down to, well, that's hard work. Jesus was a remarkable man. I've got that down. And we just sort of stop there. More and more it makes sense to me that the Christ aspect of Jesus is not that he's a remarkable person. It's not just a title, and it certainly is not Jesus' last name. Jesus Christ, first and last name. It's not that. It's something more powerful. It's this divine energy. Let's call it the love of God that was present, is present in Jesus Christ that came into this world like a cataclysmic explosion. We're looking at the stars and suns and moons lately, like a planet that explodes, or a sun that explodes and planets are formed out of it. The kind of energy that transforms and creates. This is what it means for Jesus to be the Christ. Energy released into the world. A certain kind of energy that changes people, that transforms people. Yes, it heals. Yes, it brings compassion, but it transforms the people through whom it touches and connects. It's nothing less, I think, than the presence of God himself in the person of Jesus. The compassion that exploded into the world when Jesus came. The unconditional love and inexhaustible grace that is infused now into all of creation in the presence of Jesus. The creative, like we hear in music and in our art, and the transforming in the life-changing way, the inspiring goodness was released into the world in creation in the life of Jesus. It jumped on me. Songwriter Bruce Coburn penned these words in his Christmas song, The Cry of a Tiny Babe. And listen to this image. Like a stone on the surface of a still river, driving the ripples on forever. Redemption rips through the surface of time in the cry of a tiny babe. Stone on water in the river and the ripples moving and no end in sight, driving and changing, can't be undone or taken back. That's the burst of God's energy and love in Jesus. That the world would be transformed one heart, one person, one community at a time, relentlessly, ceaselessly moving and conducting through each person. On this rock, I'll build my church. On this connection, through this energy, through the way you interact, we'll become the body of Christ. So to say Jesus is the Christ, the words are easy, but that doesn't necessarily have the meaning across the board for us, and it may not even be where you are today. So what have you experienced? Where do we experience? Where do we see and feel this energy, this transformation, this divine revelation? I think the challenge to that is sort of what we do in church is we tell people what to believe, and we make a big deal that they believe the same thing that we believe and get the words right. And while that can teach us a method and give us some space, what it doesn't do is free us to continue to grow. We get sort of caught in a static image of Jesus. So while it is right and good, I think, for us to teach our kids, you know, flannel board Jesus with the sheep and the you know, green pasture picnic and the healing, and all of those things are right and true. And to know in our hearts of hearts, indeed, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That is awesome and right at a beginning. But it doesn't serve and carry us forward in a life growing. So there can be these multiple truths. When I serve communion to the younger kids, I'll often say with the bread, this is Jesus' love for you. Now that is a truth. Jesus loves them. And then I would say to an adult, this is the body of Jesus Christ broken for you. That is a truth as well. Both of those can hold together at the same time. But one's appropriate at a certain level, and one becomes appropriate at a deeper level. And if we get stuck at the one place where Jesus is just a remarkable man, and he's just sort of this kind, benevolent person that I'm supposed to trust, it doesn't grow the way that we're called to grow. And it's not where we should stop. We should grow together. And the thing that comes to mind is, how in your relationships do you, with people that you have been with all of your life and grown together, maybe a spouse, your siblings, good friends, do you still call each other the very same thing that you called the first time you met? Now, I would say Christy calls me all sorts of things, but no, we have endearing names too, right? Don't you grow as you come with someone? They get a nickname, there's a moment that you share together, there was this thing, and for that person and for you, it becomes a deeper knowing. Just in baptism, we called Charles, he's Christian. We gave him a new name, one that signifies what happened here together in this experience. As relationships grow, so too should our knowledge and the names. But if we get stuck on a static image, well, Jesus is the Son of God who's born of the Virgin Mary, if we get stuck in a kind of affirmation phase, it falls apart and blocks the rest of our growth. One writer said that if we would just treat each other the way that Jesus treated people, it would be as if Jesus never left. And I think there's good merit to that. That something about the way we are, not just what we say, matters. To think about Christ as this creative, transforming, inspiring energy, it's something really on our hearts as those who profess our faith. Because we know it's given to us. And we love to proclaim and say, God loves me in this faith and it is real. But we also know that we need love and forgiveness and this power of transformation to see the world differently. The world needs it in our brokenness, in our heartache, in our anxiety, in our worries, in our difficulties, in our misunderstandings, in our eneminess with one another. We know that this power needs to come. And as Christians, we got to know that it transfuses through us. And we have to become part of that. We have to be the conductor of that power. As that ripple goes through, it comes to us and it can't stop. And that's what happens if we just sort of, he was a remarkable man. If we don't engage how Christ is in the middle of our lives in this power and love, we get stalled out. And those around us aren't transformed. There's an old Jewish tale about a rabbi who has his students there. And he says, ask the question, he goes, when do you know that a new day has come? And his students, sharp students, first one says, I'll tell you what, when there is enough light that you can see the difference between a pear tree and an apple tree, you know that there's a new day. And while it was a good answer, it was not the answer the rabbi looked for. Another student chimed in, willing to take a shot. How about when you know it's a new day, when you stare down the road and you see a small animal there, and you can tell if it is either a dog or a fox, then you know a new day has come. Rabbi, again, was not a wrong answer, but it wasn't the answer he was looking for. And for a period of time, no one else dared answer, and the rabbi looked at his students for what seemed a little too long, almost looking at each of their faces. And he said, the way that you know that a new day has come is when you can look at another human being, and when you see their face, you see that they are your brother or sister. And until you can see that, it is still night. Now, I would tweak it just a little bit in light of our passage today, that when you see another human being and you can see Christ in that person, when you see the divine love and energy, when you see them as your brother and sister in this way that Christ has brought into the world, when you can see that in the person who is asking for money on the corner of the street, when you can see it in the person who you've sat next to in church that you know is troubled and has seemed that way, but you just haven't ever had that conversation. When you see it in that family member who you just can't figure out why they are the way that they are. When you see it, and this one is really convicting for me, when you can look at those whose heart and ideologies and in the very presence and way they put themselves out is hateful and hard and would seem to be an enemy. When I can see Christ in them, then a new day has come. Who do you say I am? Jesus asks. My prayer is that we would continue to grow and dig and receive and respond to the work Christ has done, to be the flow of that work as we are with one another in powerful ways in a new day, because it's not so much what we say, but is what we mean and how we live that matters. And this is the hope and the trust in the church, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We give thanks in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you stand and join me in our closing hymn, please? May the God who calls us, who saves us, who renews us and sends us forth, may that peace and power go with you and through you in Jesus' name.